God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's very essential as we come together that we be in the proper frame of mind, we be of a spiritual mind, and also that we worship him according to truth. I believe we've done that in the singing of the songs and in the prayer. It'll be my desire in the teaching of the word that I might teach you things that will help you as they've helped me, teach you things that will prepare you for the vast eternity that lies ahead. And then as we observe the Lord's Supper, we'll remember our Savior who loved us, died for us, was resurrected, and sits at the right hand of God at this time, making intercession for us. And then we'll give of our means as we have prospered. I'm going to talk about the parable of the sower this morning. Michael read from Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 9. Now, this is recorded in the book of Mark in the 4th chapter. Book of Mark, the 4th chapter, and also the book of Luke, the 8th chapter. Now, in those chapters, it gives reading as it was read this morning, and then further in the chapter, it explains further what this means. I believe this is something that's very important, that is very essential to us. And probably every person falls under one of these four categories as they travel through life. Now, this word parable comes from two words. One means to throw or cast, and the other beside. Also, it means comparable. Now, what Christ has done, he's took things that people understand, people of the natural realm, that they can understand, and took things and compared that to spiritual things. And you know, when he does that, it's quite easy for us to understand it, isn't it? Well, we can understand about the physical, the temporal, and of course, we can understand that which is spiritual. And that way, it makes it more easily understood as well as more simple. In other words, it's something that we can just simply understand. They ask him in verse 10 here of this chapter after this reading, the 13th chapter of Matthew and verse 10. Notice what they said there. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" Well, that's the reason he spoke to them in parables, was simply because that gives truth to the those who are receptive and hides it from those who are unreceptive. You know, the word of God is given to those that want it, and you can receive it, and it's given to them they might receive it. However, if a man does not want to receive it, does not want it, God does not keep him from that, and certainly will deceive him. And you know, that's very true. The word of God enlightens people, they obey it, and those that don't want it deceives them, and of course they reject that. So it's given now for this reason. And it helps those who want to learn truth that it's useless for the unbelievers to try to keep them from obeying. So those that want to learn, it helps them obey that truth. But those that don't want to learn, unbelievers, and who care less about learning, the truth of God's word is withheld from them. In other words, they won't accept it, and therefore they cannot receive it. So we find now that it's given for our learning, our admonition that we might learn. Now let's notice here in verses 11 and 12 of this same chapter what he said. He answered and said to them, "Because it's given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath." Notice that now. He said those who want to know the truth may know it. Now, if a person wants to know the truth, they can know it. I've had people tell them, "Well, I don't think I can know truth." Well, they can if they want to, but they've got to apply themselves. They've got to accept that truth and so forth. Now, those who would care less will have never anything or learn anything from a parable, will never benefit from these teachings. So a person that don't want the word of God, a person that don't want truth, don't want to learn, he'll never benefit from it. But a person that does want to learn, he will. So he says now, he's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. In other words, the one that has, he wants to gain, he'll have more. One that has, don't want it, don't want any more, and just sits, that'll be taken away from him. And you know, people have learned the truth, and I know of people that had the truth, obeyed it, they left the church, they never went back, never read the Bible, and so forth, and after a while, you see them drifting further and further away from God, because that's taken away from them. Now, that'll be important in our lesson as we study further this morning. So those who want to learn more can, and it will be given them. Now, we ask God for wisdom. We ask God for understanding. We study for knowledge. We don't pray for knowledge. We study for knowledge, and then we pray for wisdom. Use that knowledge we've gained in the proper way and understand that word of God. Now, we find, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 and 7, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, there are people that are ever learning, but they never come to the knowledge of truth. And the reason is because they're not wanting to learn. Now, in verse 17, let's notice what he says there now. He said, for verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear these things that you hear, and have not heard them. I want you to notice that. Those prophets are those of old. He points out this. Now, while the prophets of old, they had vision. Now, they visualized Jesus Christ coming. They visualized the church. They visualized all those things in their mind, like we visualize heaven and the hereafter. They visualized that. Well, these people now, they had this. Now, while they had visions of the church to come, we possess the church. Isn't that wonderful? Now, they couldn't imagine how that this would be this morning. Now, they had visions of that. They had thoughts of that, how the, people worship Christ, how Christ died for people. But just think about it. Here we are, and some we just take for granted, don't we? We come this morning. We do that every Lord's Day. And after a while, we just take for granted. I want you to know Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all those prophets, they would have liked to sit in an assembly like this. They would have liked to have enjoyed that. I imagine they'd love to be here today or in assembly at one of the churches somewhere today. They had visions of it. We actually possess that. Now, they prophesied of the blessings of God, how God was going to bless everybody. Today, we're sitting in the midst of those blessings. He's just bestowed upon us all those blessings. And it's hard for us to realize just how that all these blessings have been given to us. Now let's go down to verses 51 and 52 and notice what he says now. Jesus saith to them, have you understood all these things? Now that's after he taught them in the parables. They say unto him, yes, Lord. Then say to them, therefore, every scribe which is instructed on the kingdom of heaven is likened to man that is the householder which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Now, every scribe, not just some, every scribe, not just some. Now, they instruct a soul as everyone can know. They know. They want everyone to know. So, the sower went forth to sow. That is, so that this these people, they might bring forth out of the treasure things new and old. Now, we sow the seed today. Why? That we might bring forth a fruit unto God. So they did this now, and we find that this sower went forth to sow. Now, every place, follow me closely, every place you find a field, and that field is the heart of man. I want you to think about that. That field where this seed is sown is the heart of man. And so every time you find a person, every time you find someone, you find a person, a field, sow the seed, God will take care of the results. You know, sometimes over the years I've held meetings, many of them, and people have asked me, how did the meeting turn out? Well, I didn't baptize anybody, but we had a good meeting. Well, what they think is we done no good. But you know, what we fail to realize is the what come forth that we do not see. I heard this one told, the preacher had held a meeting, And two of them got together and was talking about the meeting. One of them asked the other, said, well, how'd your meeting go? Said, well, said, I baptized one little old freckled-faced girl. One little old freckled-faced girl. Later years, that one little freckled-faced girl had four sons that were preachers. You see what we're talking about? You see what he's talking about this here? You see, this sower went forth to sow. So, folks, let's ever keep that in mind while we study these verses this morning. So any time you find a person, you find a soul. Well, now we're going to study these four soils here. First is that of the wayside. Now, notice here what he says about this wayside soil in verse 4. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Now, when he says some fell by the wayside, now, anyone that's ever broadcast seed, now, I remember when we as a boy, and I've done it in my yard, take Bermuda grass seed and just throw it, see? And I have a man that come to mow my yard, and I thought about this while I was reviewing this lesson and bringing it up to date. He every once in a while said, you want some fertilizer on your yard? And he gets a machine out there, and here he goes. And it's just going around, just broadcasting everywhere. And you know, some of that falls out in the street. Some of it goes in the flower bed. Some goes on sidewalk. And some goes on some ground over there it never would go into. But some goes on that good fertile ground there. Now that for the wayside is that that's cast where the soil is not plowed. It's not ready to receive that. Now that's those by the wayside. Now the ground is hard, but the sower, he sows the seed. Now, follow me closely. The problem is not with the sower. The problem is with the soil, the land, the soil, which is the heart of man. No way the seed can penetrate that hard soil. Now, it can lay there on that sidewalk from now on. It can lay there on that hard ground from now on. But it won't go in. It won't do any good. Now, here's what happens. When it lays there, the fowls air. Notice it, and I've noticed it. Here'll come those birds. Here'll come them, and they'll start getting that. And you know what? Then it's devoured up. And that's exactly what old Satan does. That seed is sowed. And if we have that hard ground, that seed can't penetrate. And Satan takes that away. One of the other scriptures says that he takes it out of their heart. One of the other in Mark and Luke talks about it. And that's what Satan does. He takes that word away. Now, folks, when we hear that word and we won't let it sink into our heart, old Satan's just ready for that. He'll take it away. So that's that that's sowed here by the wayside. Now, do we have any examples of that? What about Felix and Drusilla? Paul preaching them. They tremble. They were fear. And so forth. We'll hear they again. Well, old Satan snatched that as far as we know. What about King Agrippa? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. This man could have gone free if it hadn't appealed to Rome. But now, King Agrippa, as far as we know, never obeyed. In Acts the 13th chapter, and verses 45 and 46. Notice what Paul said about these people now and the seed that was sown to them. That's Acts the 13th chapter, verses 45 and 46. Now, and when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken unto you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Paul said, I'm not going to cast the pearls before swine. I'm not going to do that if they won't receive it. I've tried to talk to people. I've tried to study with people. I don't want to study. I don't care. I drop them. I'm ready to go back. I'm there ready. But no, I'm not going to waste my time there. I'm going to look for somebody that's ready. See, don't misunderstand that now. I will talk to them and wait, stand ready. And I've had people tell me wouldn't, and later they would. Now let's notice in Acts 17th chapter and verse 32, and I'll just notice two more of these, and we'll go on with the other part of the lesson. In verse 32, we find now that, let's read verse 31. Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now, Thomas said, raised him from the dead. What did they do? And when they heard the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. Now, they had the opportunity. It was there. He gave it to them, but they rejected. Some of them did, and of course, they would not. Now, in Acts 28 and verses 23 and 24, and we see how the word of people react to it. In Acts 28, verses 23 and 24, Apostle Paul, jail at Rome, said, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him in his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified of the kingdom of God. Now, talk to him about the kingdom of God, the church, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, morning to evening. Told about Jesus, how the prophets told about it, how the law of Moses told about it. Now, notice, and some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Well, those believe not, Satan will come and snatch that from them that they cannot learn. So we find now that that's the wayside salt. Well, let's go to number two now. Now, some here, he says in verse 5, and some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth, but when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Now, the stony ground. Now follow me closely. Under the wayside, it was unable to get in the ground. It's too hard. But under this one, it's able to get into the soil. It's able to get out of the soil, where on the wayside, it was not. Now, and it begins to grow. It actually sprouts, begins to grow, but it had no deepness. It was shallow. It was shallow. Had no place to go. You know, roots, they've got to have a place to go. And I know sometimes Francis will have a little plant in a little pot, and after a while say, well, I've got to put that in a beggar. Those roots don't have nowhere to go. And you put it in there, but if you leave it in there, it's going to die. See? And that's what he's pointing out. Now, actually what we have here, we have people with an emotional desire. They respond to the gospel, but they don't have anything to sustain it. It was all through emotions. They were over-persuaded. I remember years ago, went to a denominational church, and they got up and preached, and he started invitation song. And people would go, some would go and talk to somebody, you know, trying to persuade them to come up, just trying to persuade them to come up, just over-persuade them. And finally, they just sing and sing and sing. And finally, I think some, to kind of get the thing over with, go up so they get it over with, you know. But it was just emotional. And that could be true in the church, just emotional. Because of some other reason except conviction. Now, these people, big-time meetings. Now, when I was a boy, we used to have those big-time meetings because you didn't have television. You didn't go nowhere all week. He stayed at home, and if you young people think you're being deprived, you just go out two nights a week or something. Brother, if you lived my day, you didn't hardly have a night out. If you did, you didn't have nowhere to go. And so when they had a big gospel meeting, be 2 weeks long, and people just come everywhere. And boy, they were just flocking there. A lot of people baptized. But a lot of times it didn't stay because of that emotional. Then you go through the year and everything just kind of comes. And now we have it more all the time. Just like here in this congregation, we have gospel meetings, but we have good teaching, good preaching all the time. We've got good teachers here, and we take pride in our services, in our teaching, our worship services, and it's all the time. It's not something just one time, and it's got to be that way. Now, I'm not against the gospel meetings. I'm for them. We need them, see, but you see what the point is? Now, that's what we have here. Now, we find that many of them temporary, like those in John 6:66, when Jesus told them, they accept, they eat his flesh and drink his blood, they had no life in them. And those people, scripture says, that they turned and walked no more from him. In other words, they just turned away from him. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Today, some, because of some little trouble, can be with us today and gone tomorrow. Not staunch, not there. Now, notice now. Things are going rather well until the sun comes up. Uh-oh. Until the sun comes up. Then, what do we find? We find that they're scorched. Now, wait a minute. Follow me closely now. Doesn't the sun, isn't it necessary to have light to cause plants to grow? Isn't that necessary? I believe you'll agree that. It's necessary to have that sunlight. Necessary. But here it says that it comes up. It's scorched. Now, it takes the sunlight to begin the real test. It takes that sunlight. Now, can see things in the sunlight that you cannot see otherwise. Now, illustration I've used many times. Now, sometimes I drive around at night, used to a lot, somewhere I'd never been. And I'd go back in the sunlight, and I was amazed at how much better I could see. How much better I could see. Now, that's what that sunlight does. Now, in this case, the sun comes up, and the plant begins to die. Now, here's what we find out. Follow me closely. Now, here's the reason I give you these other three. That's Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8. And these things we're going to use here may be found in one of the others besides this. But follow me closely. Putting the three accounts together, Jesus says that the sun, what is the sun as far as we're concerned? Follow me closely. It's tribulation, persecution, affliction, temptations. It offended them because of the word. Now get that. The sun comes up, and it says now, when the sun was up, they were scorched. But you know what? Those afflictions, those temptations, those persecutions, those tribulations, they're caused by the word of God on us. And you know, we as Christians, that what makes us? What if we never had no persecutions? What if we ever had no tribulations? What if we ever had no afflictions, no heartaches, none of those things? Well, it'd just be easy. But what happens? When our faith is tested and we can overcome that, it makes us stronger. I want to tell you something, folks. Every temptation you don't yield to, it makes you stronger. Every time you're persecuted and you can take it and you don't get back, you don't retaliate, it makes you stronger. That sun will make you stronger. That word will make you stronger. I'm going to tell you something. It takes those things to make us stronger. And I'll tell you what, that's the reason we can stand up against sin. That's the reason we can stand up against error. That's the reason we can stand up against anything like that, is because that's put to us to test our faith, and it makes us stronger. Think about the Apostle Paul, one of the strongest. No doubt, one of the strongest. Three times beaten with rods. Stoned, left for dead. 39 times. Or five times rather, 39 stripes, save one. Beaten with all those things. You know what it done? It made him strong. What those apostles do when they beat him? What Paul and Silas do when they're in jail at Philippi and put them in the stocks? They sang praises and prayed to God. What the apostles do when they're preaching in the temple and they beat them and told them not to do it anymore? They rejoiced they could suffer tribulation for the Lord. You see how that son made them stronger? On the other hand, those that are weak, it scorches them. And there's where the difference is, folks. I want you to think about this now. We find here that this soil here, this stony places or rocky places, that it takes that. Now, it takes this son to make a Christian grow. You know what Paul said, 2 Timothy 3 and 12? All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All. That's you, me, everyone will suffer those persecution. So he says that you will never be the Christian you ought to be without some temptations, persecution, affliction, tribulation. And if a person is a real Christian and has real conviction, just let the sun come up. And let those stormy winds blow. Let those things go. And he will simply become stronger and more mature. He'll be there to stay. I've been in the Church of Christ since 1936. I've been preaching since 1950. I have no intention, never have had, of leaving the church. I have intentions that if I have ever shown I'm wrong, I'll leave. But I'll tell you what, all the storms that I might have gone through, all the persecutions, all the heartaches, all the physical illness, all those things, I wouldn't trade it for nothing. I wouldn't trade my years of preaching the gospel for nothing. I wouldn't trade it for no kind of job, no kind of career. I wouldn't trade it for nothing. Someone said, well, preacher, you don't have very much, do you? No, sir. I didn't bring anything here. I'm not going to leave anything, so to speak. But I hope I've got lots of treasures up yonder. I hope I've got lots of treasures up yonder because I'm going to go there. Heard on the news that Dr. Christian Bernard Farm, I believe one of the first, maybe heart transplants or something along that line, he passed away. I don't know anything about the man, but I'm sure he's probably a wealthy man. But it'll be left right here. That'll all be left right here. So all those things. So what he's saying is this. Now, let me point out something else here. There's something about this field. And he says now that they sprung up, these things did, and said now that they had no root. And after a while, well, they just wither away. So we find these things establish the true faith, what destroys the counterfeit. Notice what John said in 1 John 2:19. And I think this fits so perfect here. 1 John, the second chapter, and verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And so if a person leaves the truth, leaves the Bible, it makes it manifest they weren't with us. John says that. If they'd been with us, they wouldn't have left us. So they left us. Well, we come to the next one. And that's found in thorny ground here, found verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Notice that. Now, no problem with the seed getting into the soil. No problem. Soil is not hard. It's not rocks. It can germinate. It can grow. But so can the thorns. Don't you notice that? This soil, the seed could come up. It could grow. But the thorns could too. They grow quite well. Those thorns grow quite well. Jesus saying, we do not have to cultivate evil. It will work by itself. I used to think when I was a boy, we'd plant cotton, we'd have to go out and hoe it. And then we'd have to go back and hoe it. And I'd think myself, why can't the cotton grow like that weeds, and that weeds be like the cotton? How come those weeds just keep coming up? But you know, there's a purpose to that, wasn't it? And so it had to be weeded out. Now, evil. Now, you know, they'd come up without any problem. Now, we try to get a yard, don't we? We set out Bermuda grass seed or some kind of to make a pretty yard. But you ever sow weeds out there? Does weeds ever come up? You don't have to cultivate them. You don't have to water them. You don't have to do anything. They'll come right on. Now, here's what he's saying. He's telling us here that the hearts that are not attended to will change to a wilderness. The heart's not. Now, here's what I'm saying. When that seed is sown in our heart, all of that carnal things, all that old man, that's got to be taken out. And not only that, it's got to continually be cleaned out. It's got to be continually cleaned out. It can't stay there. What happens when it's not? I was probably 17, 18 years old, and summertime, didn't have a job back then, couldn't get one. And so a fella wanted some boys to pick cotton from him. And so four or five of us around there that kind of played together, we got together, and he took us out to pick cotton. We got out there and looked, and I thought it was a hay field. Johnson grass and everything everywhere. Got down to it, and you can see some little cotton scattered here, there, and yonder. And he was wanting us to get a good crop. He was wanting us to pick his cotton. Couldn't hardly pull a sack through it. You see what happened? Went over to another field. There was the cotton, the bowls and everything was just really pretty. And just go right in there and go right on picking. Folks, we've got to keep those things cleaned out. That's exactly what he's talking about, that thorny ground. And I tell you what, the longer I let it stay there, the more I neglect it, the more it grows, and the harder it is to finally get cleaned out. And that's the reason when people hear the gospel. I've had people to come nearly to the point of obeying the gospel. And 3 or 4 years later, you couldn't touch them. I've had people leave the church. Go visit with them, talk to them, encourage them, try to get them to come back. And 4 or 5 years later, tell you, I don't even want to talk to you about it. Why? They hadn't kept it clean, and that word was gone. And Christian friend, I warn Edwin Morris this morning. I warn you, Edwin, you keep it out. You keep it out of your mind. You keep it out of your heart. Because if you don't, it'll slip up on you. It's just like, oh, those weeds, they just creep in. And exactly what he's telling us. You know, sometimes people say, oh, you're too religious. You do it too much. I was really hurt one time. We have a lot of meetings in this area. And a brother told me years ago, said, we just have too many meetings. Nuh-uh. You can't have too much preaching. You can't have too much meetings. You can't have too much spirituality. No, sir. Why? Got to keep that out of there. And tell you what, the more you've got that spiritual in there, the easier it is to keep that carnal out. Don't you think about that. So don't let that feel go. Now, He gives us here three things. Now, I'm going to give you scripture right here. Listen to me. Now, this is in all three of these counts. He's given us here what the thorns are. What are those thorns? Follow me. Care of this world, number one. Two, deceitfulness of riches. Number three, lust of other things. Four, pleasures of this life. All of them named in these three parables, or three occasions, this one parable. They're all named there. Don't that cover it? Care of this world, deceitfulness, riches, lust of other things, pleasures of this life. Care of this world, too wrapped up in everything we do. All the cares, too busy. I've had people tell me, oh, I'm too busy to go to church. I just can't go. I've had people say, oh, I got to make money. I'm going to lay up so when I retire, I'll have that. I had a brother that had a grocery store back in the Depression. He opened up at 6 o'clock in the morning, stayed open 10 o'clock at night, 7 days a week. He told me later I went out, I'd go out with him every summer, stay a couple of weeks out on the highway, just a small store, sold gasoline and everything. But he said he'd started opening up at 7, closing about 6, closed Sunday, won't even open the doors. He said, I had in mind, I was going to work real hard and lay up enough money that when I got where I could retire, I'd have retirement and enjoy it. And said, I woke up one morning and it dawned on me, I might not live to retire. I might not live to retire. And never again did he open work like that. Folks, deceitfulness is rich. It'll deceive you. Lust of other things. Lust of eyes, pride of life, all those things. Lust of flesh, pleasures of this life. I'm not opposed to some pleasure, but I'm opposed to letting it take our lives. I'm not opposed to some, and I want that understood. I'm not opposed to some, the proper kind. But when it takes over our lives, then it's wrong. Then what happens? It becometh unfruitful. You know the Lord wants us to bear fruit. We're fruit-bearing people. How did this spring forth? Now follow me closely. We come to this good ground now, and let's notice what he says here. And I'll talk about that, what he's fixed to say there. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. What? There was no hard ground under it. Now follow me closely. There's no hard ground under it, but there was a sun over it. Now, sun scorcheth back down, but there was no hard ground under it, but there was a sun over it. It must be there. You know what it done? It brought forth 100, 60, and 30. Sometimes the word preached, it brings forth 100. Sometimes it's preached to a different group, brings forth 60. Sometimes preached to a different group, brings forth 30 or a different person. But you know, it all depends upon this right here, this good ground, this soil. It all depends upon it. So it brings forth. I know when I preach, people are not going to agree, all of them agree with what I said. I know that. I've known that for years. Every preacher knows that. Every teacher knows that. But we know it's going to do some good. Know it's going to do some good. Well, it brought forth that. Now, my last point. When I was a boy, we farmed. Had an old rocky hill there. I've told this before, since some of you heard me, but some haven't. And my dad got where he didn't plant certain things there. He said, I'll go down here in the fertile ground and I'll plant it there. Well, we would plant things on that rocky ground. And we plant things down here. Now follow me closely. We did not expect too much out of that rocky ground. We didn't expect too much. But we got a little. We got some. Got enough black-eyed peas. I learned to shell them, and they was floating out in my ears, eat them so much. I tell people, we had two meals a day. For lunch, we had black-eyed peas and corn. Supper, we had corn and black-eyed peas. We switched around. But I tell you what, it didn't just come abundant crop. Didn't expect it. But you know, down there on that good soil, where we planted, worked it and everything, and boy, everything was going fine, and maybe didn't get any rain, or maybe it just didn't produce, or maybe the sun burned it up, or maybe hail hit it or something. And boy, we were really disappointed. And sometimes, even when everything seemed good, my dad said, that ought to brought more, forth more than that. We expected more, didn't we? You see what that good ground does? That good ground does that. Well, Rock Hill, do not expect much, but the fertile soil upset when it does not produce, when it had the possibilities and the capabilities. Now, folks, let me say this in conclusion. I have people ask me about the people in Zambia. They don't have the capabilities and the possibilities we have. You know, a lot of our brethren are too quick to condemn them. But I'll tell you one thing. I've been in their services, and I've communed with them on the Lord's Day. And I want you to know they are humble. And they are really there. They'll come together. We got there. Church going to start. I forgot what time it's going to start. Probably 9 o'clock. We got there probably 15, 20 minutes early. And they were sitting there singing, sitting in the sun on concrete blocks singing. And they worshiped there, sitting there on those blocks. No, they don't have the capabilities, the possibilities we have. We have it. We can get in our car in a few minutes. We can take off. They're going to get in their shoes. They have a moment. They're going to start walking the shoes. Went out to place to preach at 2 o'clock. A man had walked 7 miles to be there. Yes, sir. So we've got that for Christian's Day. You've got the opportunity. I've got the opportunity. I've got the word. I can read it. I can study it. I can be built up by a fellow Christian. I'm through. If you're here this morning, why don't you become a part of this good ground? The word's been sown in your heart. You know you ought to obey it. You've never been baptized. You know you ought to be baptized. You know you ought to be a child of God. Why are you putting it off? I don't want to over-persuade you, but I do want to persuade you to do that which you know you should do. So if you've heard the word, believed it, would repent, make a good confession, I believe Jesus Christ, Son of God, and you're dedicating your life to God when you do that. You're telling God, I'm going to come to you now. I'm going to serve you now. And then be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the remission of your sins. If you're here, that seed was sown. You've obeyed it, and you were one of the stony or the rocky or thorny, whatever it might be. Just simply say, I'm going to be the good ground. I want to see that word save my soul. The opportunity is yours. While we stand.